Blog Talk Radio.
I hate you. Good afternoon. Welcome to Live with MJ, where I have the pleasure to interview some of the greatest names in sports, entertainment, philanthropy, and lifestyle brands. For those of you who are first-time listeners, my name is MJ Padone. I am the host of Live with MJ, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Gina Mason. Hello, Gina. How are you?
I'm great, MJ. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, today I would like to welcome our special guest, Ben & Jack's Steakhouse Executive Chef Admir Ali Basic. Admir was born into a family with a rich heritage of celebrating life through food. His fondest childhood memories involved the discovery of food's cultural importance. Admir developed a keen desire to delight his family's taste buds, spending the majority of his free time in the kitchen watching his mother cook and watching the Food Network. While in high school, he began working as a dishwasher at Ben & Jack's Steakhouse. From there, his passion took flight, working in the kitchen and watching the chefs and line cooks work further enforced his desire to become a chef. Admir's great passion for cooking led him to seek knowledge, learning cooking techniques from top chefs in the steakhouse industry, and developing his eye for beef. Having encountered this exposure and learning experience, was an honor for Admir as he enjoyed taking part in the creative process and techniques. Over time, he worked his way up through different roles in the kitchen. Starting with prep, setting up all foods and ingredients for dinner service, he then became a line cook. A short time later, he rose to specialist chef. Finally, as his skill set grew and his confidence and creative ability became apparent, he was named executive chef. While exploring and excelling in the kitchen, Chef Admir also pursued higher education, working toward a Bachelor's of Science degree from Hunter College with a major in food science. This education led him to incorporate the science behind food into creating the perfect box in which to age beef, allowing for ideal marbling and tenderness. Now Admir has laid the foundation for his own cooking style based on simplicity of ingredients and richness of flavors. He has been featured in multiple magazines, newspapers, radio interviews, and television shows. Despite his hectic schedule, Admir enjoys donating his time for charity events and has participated in over a dozen different events. Admir, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Doing good. It's a pleasure being on.
Oh, fantastic. Well, of course, I have to just start by saying, what a great night last night. You hosted the Gotham Burger Club, and you made a delicious recipe about the blue chip burger, and I promised I wasn't going to jump in and talk about this first, so I guess we're going to go backwards a little bit, but man, did you enjoy the experience last night?
Of course I did. I mean, it's hard not to talk about it, especially with the group of guys that were here, and I just had fun in the kitchen, so it was a good night.
We can't hear you, Gina.
I'm sorry. I can't hear her.
Okay, Gina, go ahead. We had a little technical glitch.
Not a problem.
No, we're having a little technical glitch. But Gina was just saying that she truly enjoyed the burger. She usually, I know she loves red meat, and I know how much she, you know, is always bragging about some burger where she ate. But last night, I mean, she's still raving, and as well as everybody else. But, you know, I just have to tell you that the emails, the phone calls, and text messages today, you guys really, you did a great job. And of course, outside of having such a great burger prepared by you, they loved the atmosphere, and they just loved everything that Ben & Jack's as a restaurant and a family brings to their customers.
Right. I mean, it goes back to even the blend that we used, too. It was a specialty blend that was created for us, so it incorporated great cuts of meat, great cuts of beef, and as well at the same time, I acted as if they were my friends for years. So it was just that great environment that we created for them, and I was able to talk to them as if I was talking to one of my buddies.
Oh, no, that's great. But can you share with the listeners what went into the blend? What made it so incredibly delicious?
It was a blend of porterhouse, hanger, chuck, and short rib. So you have that full fat flavor that you're going to get from the porterhouse, and then of course the tenderness and the flavor as well from the hanger steak, which is one of the most tender cuts of the cow. And of course, you can't go wrong with anything with from the rib section of the cow. I mean, anywhere from your ribeyes to prime ribs, those are going to be full in flavor. So the short rib is actually an addition that pretty gives you that burst in flavor.
Now, when you, of course, you had those four meats for the blend. But what ingredients did you use last night?
Well, for the meat, it's just the meat alone, because you don't want to mess with that blend. You want to taste the meat. But there's all the products that I was using to complement the meat, which I did was the porcini and portobello mushrooms that were sautéed with garlic, a little bit of truffle oil to finish, and bourbon. Also did a blue cheese topping on top and a bacon glaze with our steak sauce that we have in home.
You know, that's another thing people were raving
about.
Chips,
of course.
I'm sorry?
And then the blue chips, of course.
Oh, the blue chips were fantastic. I mean, everything was great. And of course, like I love personally when I'm eating a burger, whatever it may be, I love tasting things individually. I like the different, you know, flavors and tastes. And it's funny because Mike Puma, who's the head of that group especially, was doing exactly that. And he was like, everything's on the money here, the blue chips, the this. And he was really going through. And he was so excited, like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, okay.
It's just
a
hamburger.
He's like, and he's like, it's not just a hamburger, MJ. This isn't just any hamburger. This is an awesome blue chip burger. And they're also excited. You're including this burger on the menu. Is that correct?
Yes, I actually just added it today to our dinner menu. I'm going to be putting it on our bar menu as well.
That is awesome, because I don't know if you've seen all the movement on Instagram and Twitter and everything else. Oh, my gosh. I mean, one photo alone, they got over 600 likes.
My
and I thought we were the PR
up.
Agency.
my phone was blowing up because apparently it's linked to the Twitter. So I just it was annoying this morning, but it was for a good reason. But it was funny though, because I did see a couple of the guys take the bacon and dip and just leave it in their bourbon stirring stick. So that was a good thing too.
That was awesome. That was awesome. It truly was. It was so much fun, and you know, it's just good to see a group of guys who do have this experience so many nights of the week really go out of their way and flip over this burger. So that's amazing. But now we're going to go back to base.
Yes.
Sorry. No, okay. My fault. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No,
what I was going to say is another thing. Good thing about the burger is just that everything complemented each other, so it wasn't overwhelming. At the same time, you got to taste the beef, and it's just a complete different experience on the palate.
Okay, now we're going to go back to the beginning, because people are going to want to know, when did you develop your love for food? Were you inspired by your mother's cooking as a child? And so forth. So, of course, we have to let them know how you became who you are today, which happens to be one of the most recognized names in the industry. So, please, can you share that with us?
I actually, growing up, instead of going out and playing, I would watch the original Iron Chef when it was back in Japan, and I would watch Morimoto, and I just found him to be one of the most amazing chefs on TV, and the way he transforms food to a work of art just caught my attention. And then, of course, always growing up watching my mom, and I love to eat food to a point where I gained a little extra too much weight. So it was just an overall experience. And in a family, we always gather together and for different occasions, so we're always cooking. It's everyone helps each other in the kitchen, and it's come to a day where I'm doing everything in the kitchen. But it pays off.
Oh, that's great. Wow. You know, Albanians are very much, I mean, you know, that's like Italians, and there's that love of, you know, eating and family, and so it's just really
eating
nice
and a whole lot of drinking.
Yeah, of course, a whole lot of drinking. A lot of wine, a lot of everything. The more you eat, the merrier you are.
Exactly. I think it's the alcohol that's making me more merry. But
true. Amir, what is your favorite dish to cook?
Well, currently, it's anything on the grill. The grill is my playground. You give me anything, and I will transform it on the grill, anything from grilled pizza to grilled donuts, you name it. I love the grill. So the grill is grilled my donuts. My baby. So
grilled donuts. I'm here saying the same thing. Grilled donuts.
I've actually had a burger on grilled donuts before.
Yeah.
I swear I almost had a heart attack after I ate it, but it was really good.
Yeah,
do you know
what kind of donut you use?
It was a glazed donut.
Yep, that's perfect.
Yep.
Somebody this weekend grilled bacon on the barbecue, and then they added sweet and low. And I said, ew, sweet and low? Have you heard of that? It was soup. It was sweet, not something that I eat all the time, but it was quite tasty. Have you heard of that?
It is. I've heard of it, but the thing is with sweet and low, it's a chemical, so it's not going to really caramelize the same way you would as if you used, for instance, raw sugar or just sugar. I mean, if you wanted to get that full effect, I would have went more with, like, either the brown sugar because it would give you the molasses taste as well, too. So, but, I mean, I guess people are trying to watch what they eat with that sweet and low. Kind of like an oxymoron, adding sweet and low to bacon.
I mean, he's clearly not a chef, but he certainly is one big guy who loves his food, and I just think any combination that he puts together, he thinks it's going to be a crowd favorite. Like I said, it was quite interesting, but I just wanted to hear your take on that.
if it works, it works. I mean, things with cooking, you have to bring your own personality. It's nothing is scheduled. You're not following your own recipes, unless you're baking. Baking is a different story, but when it comes to cooking, grilling, whatever the case is, it's more of bringing your true self to the dish. So there are certain procedures that you have to follow with temperatures on the grill or whatever the case is, but using different types of flavors and just incorporating ingredients that you've never used before and just trying to marry them together with any type of protein, you can do whatever you like. Just it's another way of expressing yourself.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
And also, just for our listeners, we want to make sure everyone goes on social media and follows Chef Admir. You can find him on facebook.com/ChefAlibasic, Alibasi, and then also on Twitter at Chef Admir, Alibas. And also on Instagram at Chef_Admir.
Yeah, also you can catch me on any of the benefits too. So I'm on all the social media.
That's great. Okay, super. Now everybody knows where they could find you. But tell me, I have a niece who's a pastry chef, and I know what challenges she has. What is the most difficult thing about being a chef?
Sometimes it gets a little frustrating being in a hot kitchen with anywhere from 400 to 500 tickets coming out a night, so that can get to you. But the thing is you have to keep your cool regardless of what you do. You have to have a good time. I mean, when I get there sometimes and just have the music blasting, I'm either singing along to the music or just keeping focus. That's one of the frustrations is losing control of the kitchen, and that's what you don't want to do. You just want to keep your cool and just go with the flow. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
That's true.
Another thing one of the other things is picking. So you're constantly trying to food. You guys, and it's hard to sometimes maintain your weight. So.
Right. No, I'm sure. My goodness. I know I would be 2,000 pounds.
I got up to 340 once, but then ended up losing 140 in about 7 months.
I won't tell you how my niece, being a pastry chef, as you can imagine, she loved tasting every dessert that she made, and I know she would kill me if I mentioned her weight over the air. And clearly, she's lost a lot of weight, but that was her biggest challenge was not eating everything that she was baking. But
Go ahead.
What advice do you have for aspiring chefs?
The thing is you have to have support. I've always had family support when it came to doing it. I mean, I went to school for food science, but I fell in love with the kitchen, and I've always had my family support with it. Being that it is a family business, they gave me the opportunity to start from the bottom and up, and I learned actually all the ropes. So you do have to be patient to one level as well, too. You can't expect to just jump straight into an executive chef. It's And actually starting from the bottom helps, and then it teaches you more. Another thing is, you don't, and this is what I say to a lot of people, is don't be stubborn. Don't try to pretend that you know everything. It's always good to learn, and that's how you progress. It's by taking in knowledge from other experienced people. So it's more about being patient and following what you listen and having that support.
Makes complete sense.
And speaking of a family and how important family is, you know, Ben and Jack's is a family-run restaurant and part of your family. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, how you started at Ben and Jack's and, you know, the family history in the restaurant industry?
We have little families. Again, it's four owners. So it's two uncles, two brothers, and two cousins, which are brothers themselves. They were waiters at Peter Luger's and eventually opened up their first steakhouse, Ben and Jack's, on 44th Street between 2nd and 3rd. And then from there on, it just blew up into this whole industry craze in New York City. They were the first ones to introduce the Peter Luger style of steaks. So they grew up back home in Montenegro, and they immigrated here, worked hard, and they're actually my inspiration as I grew up. I mean, sticking with them since I was 18 years old taught me a lot. It made me more mature at a younger age. And now they're at a level where they're opening up restaurants left and right.
Wow. I'm sure there are also challenges with working with family, and I know that you guys are all very close, but are there times where, you know, that closeness gets a little challenging because you're working so closely?
It does, but then at the end of the day, you still need to realize it's family, and everybody's only looking for the best for you, and no one's trying to throw you under the bus. So it does get frustrating at times, but it's at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Right. No,
and the thing is, we respect each other a lot, and again, them being older and protecting my role models growing up, I respect them. And if they know best, they've been in the experience for a very long time, they're in the business for a very long time now.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, they're certainly, you know, world-renowned restaurateurs and well-respected, so that's nice. Yeah. I think you're really fortunate to have such role models. So you mentioned that you have a favorite chef, and Morimoto is one of them. Can you tell us why he's such an inspiration?
It's just the first time I saw him cook on Iron Chef, the original Iron Chef, just the way, again, like I said, the way he utilizes the ingredients and his finished products are as if he just drew them. They were just a beautiful work of art. And his technique in the kitchen, the way he utilizes his knife skills, it's just a complete different person compared to what I see on TV now. And the guy, like I said, growing up, it was just an amazing thing to see him battle. I couldn't wait for him to be on TV, and that stuck with me.
Right. That's awesome. I love his restaurant, Morimoto. I love his food. I just love his creativity. So we're definitely in agreement on that.
I have to say too, you know, these chef shows, I sit there and I watch them in just utter amazement, just see, because it's really a craft, and I don't think people give it, you know, the respect that, you know, that deserves. Like, you know, some of the dishes that you see created, and we know that you create, are just incredible. I saw something on Facebook the other day with a duck avocado. Was it linguine?
Yeah, I did. I did a noodle out of avocado. I pretty much made my own avocado flour and made noodles with it. It was a challenge I was part of where it was. We started off with about 200 chefs and we got down to the final four. So, yeah, I did the whole thing. The whole challenge was a different category, and you had to use avocados for every single round. I mean, the dessert round was the best, though.
Was this the World Food Championship?
No, it was Avocado Madness. It was sponsored from Avocados from Mexico and Chefsville.
Oh, wow. Well, that was one thing we wanted to talk to you a little bit about. Can you tell our listeners about when you competed in the World Food Championships?
Yeah, I actually competed last year, and last November, in the World Food Championship in Vegas. And I was actually there by myself because we were slammed here at the restaurant. It was a fun experience. You had 45 minutes. I mean, I thought it was a little too much. I ended up finishing in half an hour. But it came to a point where I had the cameras on me. I just told them to just leave me alone and back away. it was pretty intense, but it was a great experience. We had, it was about over 500 chefs at the event, and I had a lot of fun, and I'm going to be participating this year as well.
That's great. That'll be a lot of fun. Where is it, in Vegas again?
No, it's going to be in Florida.
Oh, very nice.
That's exciting.
So obviously at Ben & Jack's, you guys have incredible steak. I had one of the best steaks I've ever had in my life there a couple weeks ago. Can you share one of your secrets as to what consistently makes the perfect steak?
It starts all in the walk-in box, and it's the dry aging process. It's pretty much become a lost art, and is a huge science that goes into preparing that walk-in box, or you can call it the dry aging box, makes the meat so tender. The thing is, we're keeping at a consistent temperature, which is anywhere from 35 to 36 degrees, and the humidity is controlled from anywhere from 70 to 75%. So that makes it optimal to dehydrate the big primal cuts. At the same time, you're helping, the enzymes are actually breaking down the protein, so that's what gives the meat that tenderness. And dehydrating it gives it that concentrated beef flavor. So it's a complete different experience compared to having a wet aged product versus a dry aged product. In my opinion, you must go with dry aging.
Yes, dry aging steaks they're phenomenal. And so if I'm guessing, because there's so much great food at Ben & Jack's, do you find it difficult to go out to other restaurants and eat, or do you have any specific restaurants in the city that you like to go out to when you're not working?
That's one thing, is I started off in this industry, and it being fine dining, I became very picky. So I do like a couple of places. And I tend to not really go out much in the city, but mostly in Brooklyn. That's my hometown, so I'll go anywhere in Williamsburg. That's a nice hot spot. And then I actually like the place that we went to last time in Greenpoint. So there's a couple
awesome
places I'll go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I mean, for Turkish food, I go to Sahara in Brooklyn. Thai food, sea in Brooklyn. So majority of places I go in Brooklyn. Not so much in the city. I mean, here it's 2 days a week, so
right, so you want to change it up a little, and I don't blame you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we actually had a caller who just emailed in a question, and it's Mike from New York City. And he's asking, how are the trends in eating natural foods changing how you cook and or how you go about ordering food, especially meat? That's a good question.
Now with the whole craze with the grass-fed beef, I mean, the price is expensive. Some of the cows are not fully grass-fed. They either start with corn-fed and then finish with grass-fed. So it depends on what type of meat you're getting as well, too. But to be honest, what I found completely different in the dry aging process, especially with the meat, is that the corn-fed cows, of course, are going to be bigger and they're going to have a higher concentration of marbleization. So it's optimal for dry aging. I mean, to be honest, I grew up in New York eating food that wasn't organic or all natural, and I grew up pretty healthy. But it does make a difference in flavor in the food that you use. Of course, fresh ingredients are better, especially seafood. You don't want to grab a piece of fish that's been sitting there for 5 days. So it makes a huge difference on your outcome of your dish. Even when it comes to even cooking with certain ingredients like wine, you don't want to cook with those cheap cooking wines in the stores because they're full of minerals. So you want to use either a nice like Pinot Grigio or Sauvignon Blanc or even Chardonnay. So it all comes down to your finished product of the ingredients that you're using too.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. For sure.
And now, of course, there's a trend with, it's not really a trend, but it's with that whole, I guess you'd say gluten-free and then lower calorie options that a lot of the restaurants are tending to go towards. But what I've realized myself is that if you just have an overall healthy lifestyle, then you can pretty much eat whatever you want, in my opinion.
Again, that makes sense.
That's why I go to the gym every day. So I can eat whatever I want.
I'm telling you, it's for me, it's with my background in science and my weight loss, it's come down to me as a numbers game to an extent.
Right.
I'll still have my cheat day once a week. You gotta satisfy your body.
That's true. I always tend to do that. That's my problem. Okay, so on to the next question. We know how busy you are, and we know you have a big event going on this evening. Actually, would you like to talk about the event tonight at Ben and Jack's Steakhouse?
Tonight I'm actually doing an event, a book signing with Heather Dolan. She wrote a book about the distillers of New York. So we're going to have 25 of the distillers in New York here representing their products. And it's going to be a couple of media coverage, some people from HGTV, and it's going to be fun. I'm actually here helping her set up, and then decided to take a break and speak with you guys.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So let's go into, we always end our show talking about people who give back, and you are incredibly philanthropic. So can you tell us about which charities you support personally and also Ben and Jack's as well, and why is it so important to you?
Well, the first charity event that I actually participated with was the American Cancer Society, and I specifically wanted to be part of that event because my uncle, which is a doctor, he actually had cancer, and he had a tumor 3 times, so that actually was a big inspiration for me to participate in that first event. And once I did that one, it's the rest is history. I did City Harvest. I've done ALS. I've done the Boys and Children's Club. It's endless, the amount of charity work. Especially the huge event that I did, was part of, and then the sarcoma event. So there was there was a bunch of charity companies that I actually have participated or donated my time for a cause.
That's excellent, and kudos to you because you do take the time out of your busy schedule. So on that, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I know you have to get back to the restaurant there and prepare for tonight's event. So we truly appreciate you taking the time to come onto the show, and we look forward to having you join us. And for more information,
On Chef Amir, you can go to Chef's Roll at chefsroll.com, and his name is AdmirAlibasic. And obviously, for more information about Ben and Jack's Steakhouse, you can visit benandjackssteakhouse.com. And once again, be sure to follow Amir on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And for all of you who, all of this information will be linked on our Live with MJ site, so you can get all the links there.
And I would like to thank you all so much for tuning in today. Be sure to check out our Live with MJ Facebook and Twitter accounts to stay updated on our shows. Enjoy the rest of the week, Amir, and thank you all for listening.
We'll thank you. It was a pleasure being on. I'll talk to you guys.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye, Amir.
Bye-bye.